The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." This morning here on A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery, we'll tell you how to begin the process of recovery from any of life's hurts, hang-ups, or addictions. Remember, God has plans to give you hope and a future. Let's join in now to hear those whose purpose and mission is to inspire you to renew, rebuild, and restore your life through the road of Christ-Centered Recovery.
Welcome to A New Ministries Christ Center Recovery. Last week we ran out of time, so let's have John pick back up where they left off last week.
You know, as a church, in terms of specific Bible studies to work with some of these people that have graduated from the programs, right? Because one of the things that we're learning is simply taking them from this environment as very, very baby Christians and putting them into the straight church formal Bible study type environment is not really conducive to growth, right? You know, certainly, you know, it's kind of the whole meat and milk thing. And and so as this grows, we're obviously going to have to develop something to teach them and to disciple them. And I think as God opens those doors, that's what the future holds, at least in the short term.
And we just had Pastor Luis on from former High Point Church, which is now City of Grace Church. And it kind of ties into our next question about, you know, how important, and we touched a little bit, how important it is for our churches to get involved with our collective efforts in bringing Christ-centered recovery to local communities, such as Calvary Christian Church has done in Linfield and Northeastern Baptist Church. And Celebrate Recovery has been a big part. I mean, that was a catalyst for me. I've been in both secular and Christian recovery, but I can't tell you the difference when you bring a ministry such as CR, or Living Waters, which is another ministry, or Grief Share. There's a whole host of the Nathan Project for sexual addiction. How much more powerful the church can be. So we're really excited about the works that you guys are doing down in your area of Linfield and Lynn. And Pastor Luis has actually talked to me about opening up a Celebrate Recovery, so we're going to guide him through that process.
Well, that would be exciting because I still go. I've been going since I started with you back, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago now. But I've been going to the Linfield campus almost 3 years now. And the stuff I learn there is just incredible because I'm amongst the addicted and afflicted, you know, the addicts and the alcoholics that have proven that I can see living proof that these men and women have trusted Christ. And they're living and breathing, you know, survivors of this terrible disease. And I try to, you know, learn from that and so that I can bring it to the things that I experience with the women at the CAB and the men's with the CAB program, because it's important. Because once they get out, as Mike was saying, you know, they can't just be, you know, out there by themselves. They need some support. And the support has to be from other Christians that have gone through that.
Amen.
And Celebrate Recovery is that true light out there in a dark world.
And I wanted to say, too, Mike, that one thing that we're working with and we'll be doing with Recovery Fellowship is that we'll take a wonderful international ministry such as Teen Challenge, where they in-house for about 15 months or so, depending upon if you get into ministry. But when you leave there, if you're not involved in ministry, the numbers start to drop back to relapse. And the reason that is, and that's from my experiences, and the reason for that is that we all know sitting here in our studio at the WEZE, you've got to have the support, you've got to have the structure and the accountability. I don't care who you are, and it goes for me, I have accountability partners. I can't tell you how detrimental it would be not to have that structure. And when people leave your group, that's what we're working on with Teen Challenge and other ministries. Listen, go to Celebrate Recovery. Here, get that secondary piece that God talks about putting on the full armor. Well, this is part of that. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that we need to remember, and we've brought it out a bit already, is the value that the churches can bring to this in their local community. I mean, let's think about it from a Christ-centered view, right? I mean, who better? Right? I mean, he's the great physician, right?
Amen.
I mean, are we gonna just say let them go to a secular NA meeting or AA meeting? I mean, that's good. they should be going to meetings, but give them a structure that's Christ-centered, that's Bible-based.
Proven,
absolutely proven. I mean, the numbers are staggering, the statistical numbers between, you know, secular programs and Christ-centered programs. I mean, it's just completely staggering. But if we give them that foundation for the rest of their life, give them the accountability, give them the support, give them the teaching, then we're going to see real results, right? Who should it be but the churches? And I think the reason we don't, or we struggle with it, is because we're scared, and we don't know, and we don't know how to do it. And maybe there's churches that don't have, you know, significant numbers of people that have had these struggles and know how to interact and know how to work with the programs. And I think it's just a struggle that we have to get over. And we have to understand that this is a huge problem in our communities, and it's a huge problem in our churches. And until we can cross that hurdle and start to work with these people and start to really get involved with it, we're not going to see these huge results.
Yeah, and we did our, about a year ago, Equipping the Church seminar. It was our first, and I had put it together. And it was really just talking about how you can begin the process of equipping your church here with the different ministries. That's one of the things that we are going to even get better at, because we really need to educate the hierarchy of the church, because believe it or not, some of these pastors have never heard about Celebrate Recovery, which is in 42 different countries and 20,000 churches worldwide, and especially in the Northeast Corridor, because we're not the Bible Belt, but it's all over down south. Now, I want to bring out this staggering number, because Mike, you touched a little bit about numbers. In the state of Michigan, and you were there at the New Ministries, both of you, Christ-Centered Recovery Service to Humanity Award, Lifeline Prison Ministry had 1,950 women, long story short, sign up for this ministry in prison. And after a period of 3 years, only 50 went back. You do the national average of 70% of people, that's out of every 10 people, seven go back after 3 years. It's done by Michigan State University. That's a 3.6 recidivism rate. And let's talk about why that works. And let's talk about why they were honored by the legislature and they're trying to change the whole prison system with Christ-centered recovery. Because, Mike, they ministered inside the prison, but they went and ministered in the home. So now the bridge coming out. And what's the thing that worked? Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. That's the power.
Amazing. And you talk about numbers.
He is the bridge.
Amen. And he's also the great redeemer and restorer. Yeah. Rick and Mike, give us an example of someone who has inspired you both through your recovery efforts and after you have ministered into their lives.
So I would say that's a kind of a two-part thing, because I think the greatest inspiration we're going to get anywhere for this kind of work is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And it sounds like that's the canned answer, but it's really not, right? Look through the Gospels, right? Who was he interacting with? Who was he working with?
Oh,
the woman caught in adultery, right? The woman at the well, right? You know, it wasn't the Pharisees. That's who he was clashing with. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the religious types, right? I mean, let's put a point on it. It wasn't
Absolutely.
It wasn't the religious people. He was in the gutter, and he was in the dirt. And that's who he wanted to reach, people who were broken and who knew they were broken and needed him, right? So when we talk about inspiration, I would say that that's really the primary thing. But,
Amen.
You know, we've seen some of these girls, and I'm not going to name them, but talk about lives changed.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you purpose with this work. When you see someone who came in rough,
Absolutely.
Fresh out of prison or fresh off the street, you know, ex-prostitutes, I mean, as rough as life could get, and you see them get Christ, and you see that change overnight in their life and their behavior, that's what makes you want to do it again. Because, you know, without that, it gets to be a drudgery. It gets to be this type of thing. You're saying, I'm not seeing results. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what the plan is. I'm not seeing the fruit. Then you see it, and it all makes sense.
You know, Mike, and if you go on, if our listeners go on the website at www.loveladiescenter.org, and you see they minister to over 500 sexually abused women and children, and a lot of them were prostitutes. When you see the before and after photos,
yeah.
You're looking at a totally different person. And I am blown away every time, and I look at it often because it humbles me, and it gives me that passion and a little piece to help continue to do the works that I do, because only for the glory of God. So like you said, Michael, that is a inspiration when you see someone come from such a dire circumstance, look so bad, and then get to know Christ. And who is this person? Praise be to God.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah, well, you know, Mike obviously brought up the Lord Jesus, and he certainly is the biggest part of doing any of this. But there was a gentleman, he's no longer with us, but his name was Peter Orsak. He was a heroin drug dealer, and he was a member of our Gospel Hall circuit throughout the country and world. And he got saved, and he has an awesome testimony. You can actually go online and listen to it. If you go to Heaven for Sure website and download his testimony, it's about an hour long. But, you know, he talks about this trombone case, and I always mention it to the girls and the guys because it's really kind of the key to the whole thing about what's missing in our heart. And he mentions the trombone case, and he says, you know, your heart is like a trombone case. You know, these two young boys bought this trombone case, and they couldn't, from a pawn shop, they couldn't figure out what it was for, and you know, so they brought it back, and one day they saw the trombone in the case, and then they knew what that trombone case was for. And, you know, we try to explain that that's what's missing in your heart, because your heart was designed only to fit the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, you're trying to fit something else in there that's just not going to work, and you're going to try this and that, and you're never going to be satisfied. And then you see these broken lives, and then you realize that what they really, truly need to make them whole and complete and free from their sin, that bondage that just keeps them so locked down and not enjoying life, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we can bring that part and that truth to them and they can finally see it, we can rejoice in that fact. But just to be able to tell them that, whether they accept it or not, of course, that's their own will, but we've got the opportunity to do it, and we truly enjoy that.
Amen. Now, how can people learn more, Mike and Rick, about your collective efforts in serving the great need for godly recovery? Is there a website or a contact number that men and women can call to find out more?
Yeah, I would certainly encourage people to check out our website. There's information on there. There's certainly a lot of materials on what our focus is and what we're doing, and even some recordings and stuff like that. Not all of them for sure, but they could check it out at www.saugusgospelhall.com. SAUGUS gospelhall.com, and that's updated regularly. There's all sorts of information and resources on there, and we would encourage people certainly to reach out to us through that. If there's someone that's struggling, if there's someone that needs help, reach out. Certainly if there's someone who perhaps has been through one of these programs and interacted with us and is back on the street and back in trouble and struggling and relapsed, reach out to us, because you know, we've mentioned it before, God's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and tenth chances, right? So
absolutely.
So there's no one that God can't work with, and there's certainly no one he can't save. So,
Rick and Mike, we touched a little bit about another gentleman who could not be with us here last week, and I know that you guys wanted him to come in. So I want to welcome Joe James, who was also a member of the Gospel Hall in Saugus and also joins Rick and Mike in ministering to the woman at the cab outreach ministry. Welcome, Joe, to a new ministry's Christ-Centered Recovery.
Thank you very much, John. It's good to be on your program.
It's great to have you. And actually, Rick was mentioning you last week. So, Joe, let me ask you right off the bat, when you minister to the girls, what passages from the Bible do you try to get into their hearts?
Yeah, that's actually a good question, John. We try to pick passages that are fixed and simple with the gospel truths. For example, we try to speak from the Gospel of John a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple gospel in terms of understanding. The language is simple. We have a lot of parables and stories that we can that we can appeal to, and we try to stay on the core essential doctrines of the gospel. We try to hit the doctrine of sin. We talk about the justice of God and the holiness of God, along with the complementary truth of God's love and God's mercy and compassion.
Amen.
So we talk about the Savior. I mean, the cross is the central message, and it's in the cross that God's justice and God's love meet. And so we always focus on Jesus Christ and the one who is the only way for salvation. So we talk about that. We talk about even God's judgment, the danger of neglecting God's offer of salvation. And then so we sort of try to cover these core points, sin, Savior, salvation, and God's judgment. And then so we try to use parables and stories from the Bible that are simple. We also try to use this approach because it helps the Bible study to be interactive, you know, with the women. When we talk, for example, when we talk about the prodigal son, which we did, it provides a lot of opportunities for the women to ask questions about things like the character of the father. What about the other son?
Mm-hmm.
How were the two sons different? I mean, so these are gives us opportunities to talk about different aspects of sin.
Absolutely.
The Pharisee is the older son. The prodigal son is more like the publicans and sinners. So both of them need to be saved. They're both not in the father's house.
Mm-hmm.
One's in the field, one's in the far country, but they both need to be in the father's house. And so it gives us an opportunity to say it's not just, the tax collectors and sinners that are bad, but even those who think they're religious and maybe walking around in suits and ties, but they still need salvation. So we try to give the whole gospel and tell them that Christ died for all sinners.
And Joe, you touch on something that is dear to my heart, is really letting people in positions of authority know they are no better than a sinner saved by the grace of God. And we know that titles are important. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is the Godhead. Also, Jesus says, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God. So titles are important. But whenever there are Pharisees or religious leaders ministering down to people, we here at the New Ministries are not fond of that at all. That's not what the gospel says. So I'm so glad you touched on that. Now, I wanted to ask you, Joe, how does the recovery ministry works that you do working with the women affect you?
The thing is, when you're involved in an outreach work that's not traditional church gospel preaching, one of the things it does is it really opens your eyes to the essentials of the gospel. So, when we meet with the women, one of the things that we get from the interactive session is questions that we often don't think about. For example, a classic mindset that people have, especially coming from some of the teachings that they've taken from other people, mm-hmm. not from the Bible, is for example, it doesn't matter how I live my life, somehow I can go to a church or go to a priest and I can confess my sin and everything will be forgiven. And for example, so that gives us a chance to talk about the fact that a good deed does not cancel a bad deed. So that's a big one for them because they mm-hmm. often think that I can do all these good things and that will make up for all the bad I did. But that's not the gospel, because a good deed doesn't cancel a bad deed. So it gives us a chance to explain to them that once you commit a sin, there's a penalty associated with that sin, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so no matter how much good I do in the future, it never cancels the bad I did. And that's sort of an eye-opener for them and for us, because it really re-examined how we think of the gospel. And so it challenges, how we think of sin, how we think of God's holiness, and what does it mean to be declared just? So all these essential doctrines of the gospel have to be re-examined. And so it helped to me personally, and I'm sure that Rick and Mike can talk to that as well. It really made us re-examine some of the things that we assumed we knew, and it forces us back into the Bible and makes us examine some of these doctrines a little closer.
Absolutely.
Joe has brought up some excellent points, and I think one of the big things it's done for me personally is it's opened my heart to be more sensitive to people and their understanding
Amen.
Of this tremendous spiritual blindness they're in. Because, when we preach the gospel here at the hall, it's the old routine from the pulpit, and you're up there and you don't want to be pounding your fists, but sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't want to drive people away from the love of God. You want to excite them in the experience of knowing somebody that wants to know you. And all of the reality and the truth and the power and the love and the kindness and the grace and the mercy. I mean, the list of good is endless when we're speaking of God. And that can all be that person that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And those things are so valuable. But I think, when we're saved for a long time, we sort of get dull to that. But by being involved with this work, it livens you to the understanding. It takes you back to when you weren't saved and you were underneath that veil of darkness. And the Lord could, you could cry out, but it was sort of a muffled cry because you didn't know who you were speaking to and you were crying to. But
as God, you know, slowly understood that your full intention was to know Him and your full intention was to accept Him as your own personal Savior, then and only then will He reveal Himself to you. He wants you to want Him more than anything else. And I think I mentioned, you know, before in the interview that, you know, we compare the wanting of something like the drug addict and the alcoholic. They will do anything to obtain those items. And, you know, we've heard many stories from the girls and the guys, what they were willing to do to get those things.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And what I try to tell them is, with that same intensity, that same vigor, that same attitude that you had to just do anything and to trust anybody to get what you wanted, we're not asking you for any of that. We're telling you about the very God of heaven that created this whole universe with one swoop of His hand.
Amen.
And He can save you, you know, with His love and His kindness. But you have to have that same intensity of that word, that simple word, believe. And I think that word believe gets so misunderstood and so misrepresented that people trip on that. You know, they think, oh, yeah, I believe in Him. But it goes back to the understanding of, let's take a bridge, for example. You know, you look at that bridge and you say, you know, look at that bridge. It looks strong. Yeah, I think it might hold me. But, you know, I'm not going to trust it. I just don't think it is. You know, and that's the way most people do. They know about the Lord Jesus. They look at Him. Yeah, He looks like a nice person to know. But are they willing to put their full weight? Are they willing to put their full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and step out on that bridge? And that's what we're asking them to do, is to trust in somebody that can actually help them, somebody that can actually make a difference in their lives. And those are the things that we truly push for. And it's so hard to get by that veil of darkness. They are so blinded by all of the things they've heard, all of the lies they've believed. And it's the truth that they need, and we try to give that to them.
And you know, Rick, as you know, Rick, addictions are hard habits to break. And when you are taught, you know, certain ways of life, like, you know, I don't really need to believe. Yeah, I might believe. And you're not taught, you know what? I pray that you do believe because it's for the salvation of your soul. That's what preaching the gospel is like to a lot of people. They're not sure. They want to. They're looking. And it's our job just to preach the love of God and plant that seed and let God's love do the work. And of course, His orchestrating hand. Now, Joe, I wanted to ask you as well, how gratifying is it to you when you see a life changed because of the works that you are doing through God?
It's, you know, it's just a breath of fresh air. It's absolutely reassuring to my own faith to realize, you know, not
Amen.
Only, you know, God is working, and doesn't matter how bad a sinner you are, if I can use that term, that the blood of Jesus Christ has power to break those barriers, can break there's no sin that cannot be cleansed by His precious blood. And to see that, a radical change, someone step from darkness to light, it's just an amazing experience. And, you know, it sort of bolsters our faith, and it sort of increases our zeal for the work even more.
Now, Joe, what would you say to someone who was listening to you right now, if there was a woman struggling and whatever, prostitution, drug addiction, whatever the case, domestic violence, what would you say to them from your perspective as a Christian and a member of the Gospel Hall of Saugus?
I would say, first of all, that there is not a single person who is outside the purview of God's love. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His own only begotten Son. Second, God is the only one that we are accountable to ultimately. And he's the one who has the power to forgive sin. No man can forgive sin.
That's right.
So a lot of issues that we see primarily has to, you know, deal with guilt, you know, the guilt for doing certain things, and the Bible says that only God can deliver us from blood guiltiness, like David said in Psalm 50. It's only the blood of Christ that can erase our conscience and give us a fresh start.
That's right.
So That's what I would point to. I'd point to the fact that the only person that matters is God, and He's the one who has the solution.
Amen. Now, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us here at A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery. Rick and Mike spoke very highly of you, and I'm so glad that you and Rick were able to get to the Gospel Hall this morning and connect with us by phone. So, Joe, thank you so much for the works that you, Rick, and Mike do collectively in reaching out to the addicted and the afflicted. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Please join us again here next week on A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery, where we are all about renewing, rebuilding, and restoring lives one person at a time. I'm your host, John Broderick. Have a blessed week, everybody.
We want to truly thank you for joining us here this morning. Please keep this wonderful and much-needed Christian recovery outreach ministry bathed in your prayers. A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery is a listener-supported ministry that has made a difference in the lives of many individuals through Christ-Centered Recovery. One of the greatest things that you can do to help us to continue to serve others is to make a tax-deductible donation of any amount to A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery or by simply becoming a monthly supporter here at A New Ministries. You can make your tax-deductible gift online by visiting our website at www.anewministries.org, or you can simply write to us at A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery. That's 10 Micro Drive, Woburn, Mass. 01801. If you want to contact us directly here at A New Ministries, simply call us at 617-396-1095. Again, 617-396-1095. Join us again right here next time on A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery. Remember, with Christ in the center of your life, you can renew, rebuild, and restore.